certainly hope that the Atlantic Ocean will enjoy Hurricane Joaquin as it heads due east, which sounds great to me. I love that. I'm happy that we are here and able to have our softball game. We had kind of put the coffin nail on our softball game earlier in the week, and now it's back. So we're excited about that. You know, we just sang this song. This is sheet music that I was working with, and it starts with, "We stand and lift up our hands. The joy of the Lord is our strength." The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, we sing it, we think about it, but the truth is you really do find incredible strength from that joy that God puts into us through the Holy Spirit. We looked at joy last week as we started our study of the fruits of the Spirit. We thought, how cool it would be to have that kind of strength. The joy of the Lord just working in our hearts if we should leave church and then maybe be hungry a little bit and head out for something to eat. We thought, well, how would that play out? So we thought, well, let's see how one particular couple is doing with just that. Well, let's hope that lovely couple steps into Westbridge tonight and learns a little bit more as we study from Galatians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles with you, you want to open to Galatians chapter 5. We are in week 2 of a multi-week journey to find freedom in our lives. We started by talking about being bound by the struggle and dysfunction that can often grip us in our lives. We talked about the marital discord, that overwhelming people's hearts, political happenings, trapping enthusiastic souls into deep cynicism, and even exasperation with children and family members, just to name a few of the things we want to be set free from. We were shown by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the churches in the area of Galatia, that's Turkey, that as a believer in Jesus Christ, there are two lifestyles, two philosophies, two leaders at odds with one another inside your heart. And these two are fighting for your allegiance, and they're fighting for your followership. If you wind the tape all the way to the end, you will find that one lifestyle, the lifestyle of doing whatever you want, although it seems great, it will produce hardship, struggle, dysfunction, and cynicism and exasperation. The very few things we are trying to get freedom from. The second lifestyle, however, is one of letting God guide your life and following in God's leadership. And that will birth fruit in our lives that as we cultivate it, it will bring about the freedom that we're seeking. Please go back. If you weren't here last week, go back to our website. You can go and you can listen to the message last week. You can watch the whole service or watch the message. It's up to you. But get caught up. You don't want to miss out because we studied love, joy, and peace. But tonight we will continue on looking at how we can be that settled, we can be that secure, and that steady follower of God that He designed us to be. So if you would indulge me, would you please stand as we read three verses together from Galatians chapter 5. And let me get my Bible, as you have yours, and let's read together from Galatians chapter 5. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Please be seated. All right. We have seen that when a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are instantly given a deposit of the Holy Spirit in their newly born soul, this born-again soul. Now, this deposit brings all of the things we just read about, and it brings these fruits in kind of a seed form. Think of it as kind of a giant peach pit inside your heart. It is then a lifelong process between you and God to grow these fruits so that they will permeate every part of us, so that they will guide our feet to go where we should go and to run from temptation. Grow these fruits so that they will be supervisors of our hands, so that they will do the work that God wants us to do. And to grow these fruits so they will be managing our minds and managing our emotions so that they think and feel the way God thinks and feels. Gang, it is the living out and acting out of these traits in us that will bring about the freedom that we're so desperately seeking. So, when I asked Christ to forgive my sins, and I asked him to be my Savior back when I was 23 years old, I asked him to become the leader of my life. Jesus Christ deposited the Holy Spirit, that peach pit of the Holy Spirit, in my heart. And immediately, I recognized some of these fruits. I recognized one in particular that I noticed was the joy. I was immediately, I had an internal gladness in me. It was joy. But to be honest, one of the fruits that I did not notice this fruit, at least not in a prominent way, was fruit number 4, patience. I didn't feel settled, I didn't feel secure, and I didn't feel steady as I waited for a much-needed package to arrive in the mail. I didn't feel settled, secure, or steady as I sat in traffic at 5:30 in the morning, hoping not to be late to work. I also did not feel steady or secure or settled as I walked through the never-ending line of phone options, simply trying to get a phone bill paid on the phone. Can't stand those. I thought, well, maybe the Holy Spirit just missed that one. Maybe it just missed that one in me. I mean, it might not be a bad thing, right? Being impatient. I mean, I do get a lot of things done because I'm impatient, and I tackle issues immediately without procrastinating, and I'm more of a can-do guy. There's only one problem. Without patience, I wind up just like that couple in the drama. Aggravated, annoyed, unhappy, disgruntled, and angry. Basically, all the things that we want to be set free from. Well, thankfully, I have grown a bit. I have at least cracked the peach pit of patience in my heart. And I want to share with you now how that came about from the Word of God. First, I want to look at what patience is, okay? Because we know the word was listed in the fruits of the Spirit, but there are actually two words in the Bible used for the word patience. There are two different Greek words. One is hupomeneia, hupomeneia. That's the first word that we see used in the Bible for patience. And what it means is this: patience in circumstances. Patience with and in circumstances. The book of James uses hupomeneia when James talks about Job and what happened to Job in the Old Testament. All the circumstances that hit him, he talked about Job needing patience, this hupomeneia. And friends, we are commanded to certainly grow patience in handling circumstances. We are to do that. But the word hupomeneia is not the word that God chose to use when he told us about patience and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Here is the word he chose. Macrothumia. Macrothumia. And it is being patient with people. Did you catch that? When God lists the fruit of the Spirit, he doesn't choose the word that tells us to be patient in our circumstances. Instead, now we should be patient in our circumstances, don't get that wrong, but God kind of puts a highlighter on us being patient with people. Now, why is that? Well, it's because as you read the Bible, you understand people are always more important than what's going on around us. And I might add, because if you can be patient with people, well, you can be patient just about any circumstance. Gang, the fruit that the Spirit wants and is there to enable us is for us to be long-suffering when it comes to dealing with people. When you are standing in line, waiting for the person in front of you to finish putting all their packets of sugar in their coffee, when they are then putting in their milk, and then finding the cute little swizzle stick and stirring it all around, and you're waiting, and then they test it. And pop that lid back off and start going through it again. That is when we need to be patient with that person. When someone that we love is stuck in a whirlpool of chaos and they will not swim out of that chaos, we need to be patient with that person. When someone's habits, when their actions or their attitudes drive us to the brink, change is not on their radar screen, God says, be patient. Macrothumia. Be long-suffering. Forbearance. It tells us that the Spirit wants us to wait. And gang, sometimes, the hardest thing we will ever have to do is wait. We see people drowning in a sea of dysfunction and we say, why in the world won't that person wake up? Why won't this person embrace hope? Why won't this person grab hold of healing? Why won't this person grab hold of the freedom Christ offers? Well, Colossians 3, verse 12 should help. It tells us this. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and macrothumia, patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. And here it is, the big line. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. If you've got a highlighter, you can highlight that in your Bible right now. Remember, the Lord forgave you. Remember your situation, gang. Remember your situation when God was watching you live a life of drowning in the sea of dysfunction. Remember your situation, ignoring God's offer on your life. Remember your situation of living like we knew what we were doing, but we were spiraling helplessly down into discord and unhappiness. All the while that was happening, God was standing right there asking the same question we're asking of that other person. Why in the world won't this person wake up and embrace hope, healing, and freedom? Gang, the first step towards freedom in the Spirit when it comes to patience is this. Remember Christ's patience and forgiveness towards you. Gang, I watch people living life however they see fit. Falling for the euphoric happiness and the joy promised in every beer commercial. No regard for the preciousness of their sexuality, and it befuddles me. And then I remember that if I roll the tape back 35 years, I would be watching myself living that same lifestyle, ignoring God, and not listening to any of the self-sacrificing believers who were so desperately trying to rescue me. It would therefore be sacrilegious for me to not be forbearing or refuse to be long-suffering with lost ones today. And it is the gift of the Spirit that allows us the patience that we need to let God work. Let God work while we rest in freedom, knowing the promise that we receive in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. That the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Gang, the default lifestyle that each of us are born into is a lifestyle that wants what it wants when it wants it. It sees the fault in others and is blind to our own faults. It is a lifestyle that leads to death. Macrothumeia, being patient with people, will challenge us to not just be honest with others, but to also be honest with yourself. After all, since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I'll put it up on the side screens for you, 1 and 2. It says this, "I urge you then, I who am a prisoner because I serve the Lord, live a life that measures up to the standard God set when he called you. Be always humble, gentle, and patient," macrothumeia. Show your love by being tolerant with one another. The King James uses the word forbearance. I've mentioned it before. It means, and we're going to make this our second takeaway, it means patience is about what we do, certainly, but it is just as much about holding back from doing. Yes, being patient is what we do, but it's even more so the holding back from doing. I've been asking around because the sign for sign language for patience, the one that I want to focus on, the sign for in sign language for patience is this: patience. And it's interesting that it's that, because it's really a brushing off, isn't it? Just pushing away, a don't take the hurt, be a duck and let it slide off you. That's being patient. Gang, that's what this is talking about here, with being patient with others and being tolerant with them. Just let things slide off. Don't always go after them. Sometimes do nothing. Gang, in our day and age, it is crucial to learn this practice of not acting, but instead this. Social media and email have made this practice one that we should all master. Have you ever received a text or an email of some kind of electronic message that made you say, "Hey, what the hey?" Yeah, that happens, right? I was at the firehouse, and it was evening time, and I was behind the firehouse and watching the beautiful sun set, watching it disappear in Linden over the enormous gas tanks. Beautiful, beautiful sky setting down over those refinery towers. And all I could think of was my daughter, Katie. And I said, "Oh, man." I said, "I'm going to text her right now." And I texted this: I just thought of you when I saw the gorgeous sky and the brilliant colors, and I know that you would want to have photographed it. Want to talk?" I waited a few minutes for my phone to ring, but instead I received a text back of just two letters: N-O. No. No? No? What do you mean no? No? You should know that you're only at that school because of me. If it weren't for me, you wouldn't be there, but you got no time to talk to me. No? N-O, I get back? No? What, you're too good because you learned a couple pieces of theology in your Bible college class that you're not going to talk to your bumpkin of a father who runs a little country church? No. I get no. No, so all those years of me carrying you around on high rides while you rubbed my cheeks and I took you everywhere, that means nothing to you? You're going to tell me no? The sun set on those refinery towers. And my phone rang, and it was Katie. Hi, Dad. Oh, just, I was in a big meeting, and I was delivering my mid-semester marketing presentation in front of all the faculty. And my friend said that my phone just rang. So she answered it for me, and she said, oh, you got a text. Your father wants to talk to you. She says, so I told her, oh, just quickly respond that I can't. What's up, Dad? Nothing. Nothing much. You should see these beautiful refinery towers. They're burning off a lot of gas tonight, Katie. It's really beautiful. Patience will ask you to hold back. Slide it off. Abstaining, forbearance means this. Abstaining from the enforcement of a right. Refraining from taking action. Gang, so often, the godly thing we have to do is nothing. Do nothing and allow God to work. Let people be. Hold back from doing the thing that is not needed. Instead, be patient with people. I watch people make decisions all the time, and oftentimes they will make large decisions that are not good ones. Decisions that will bring about all the things that we're talking about getting rid of and finding freedom from. But many times, God has me in the position of, just wait, Drew. As much as it pains me to watch, God has me sit back and let nature take its course. Let the world wake people up. It's very good at that. Let God work in people instead of me. Ephesians 4, chapter 2, 4, verse 2. Be always humble, gentle, and patient. Show your love by being tolerant with one another. During the Civil War, Lincoln had a Secretary of Defense who was Secretary Stanton. And oftentimes throughout the war, it was so difficult, communication was hard. Oftentimes generals out in the field would not do what they had been told to do. I mean, they're out there risking their lives. They would many, many times not follow orders that came down, even if they came down from the president. They wouldn't follow the orders. Well, one particular time, there was a general that really did not follow the orders of Lincoln and Stanton. They had both sent the same order. We want this taken care of. And the guy did not do it. He did something else. So Stanton rushed in to see President Lincoln and told him just that. He didn't do it. He didn't do what we told him to do. And Lincoln always just kind of was very calm and said, Secretary Stanton, I'd like you to write a letter. I'd like you to write a letter to that general. I want you to tell him everything that you need to tell him. What you feel about what he did, how that will affect everything, and where this whole thing is going. I want you to write that letter. Then bring it back to me. Stanton says, you got it. Stanton went, took 2 days. Came back to Lincoln with the letter. I got the letter, Mr. Lincoln. I got it, President. President, oh, thank you. Lincoln read the letter. He said, did you say everything you needed to say? He said, yes, I did. Did you get it all out? Yes, I did. Is it all covered? Yes, it is. Now, I want you to take that letter. I want you to put it in the garbage can right there. He said, but what are you talking about? I worked hard on that letter. There's a lot in there, and a lot that needs to be said. And Lincoln says, you understand. He said, more good will be accomplished with that letter in the trash than by mailing it. Patience will often call for us to just refrain from action. And that release from responsibility, brings about freedom. That's what we're looking for. Freedom to let God be God. For us to be humble and calm like Lincoln, gentle, tolerant, and patient. One final thought on patience. It's found in James chapter 1. This is from the King James 2000 version. It's, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire." Let's read that again from the New Living Translation. Get an even more clear picture of it. "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Okay, gang, now, honestly, none of us, when we are dealing with a person who tries our patience, none of us starts to sing and dance and praise God for this incredible opportunity to grow the Spirit in us. But the truth is, what he's saying here, is that the testing of our patience, as abrasive as that might be, is actually smoothing off the rough edges if we let it. When I was building my house, I built my house from scratch, and I had to do the entire railings for the stairs by myself. So I bought all the material to do the stairs in individual pieces. I was going to put the whole thing together, build it, design it myself. And the material that I received, the wood that came to me, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad, the wood. But it was only semi-smooth. Semi-smooth. It wasn't really super smooth. I could have just thrown that railing up there. I could have thrown it up the way it was and mounted it up. I could have stained it as it is and varnished it. But the truth is that that wooden handrail was not finished and it was not smooth. And everyone who would have come in contact with that handrail, whoever would have drugged their hand against it on the way up or down the stairs, would have gotten irritated or hurt by that splintering. So instead, I had to get rough sandpaper and smooth that thing off. It took a long time. It took a long time. And it was a very trying job. But in the end, everyone to this day is better off for it. That is what Paul is saying we are going through when our patience is tried. We are the handrail that's rough. We are the handrail that, if left in its rough state, we will irritate, we will hurt, and we will even stick it to somebody. Trying people and times that call for our patience, those are sandpaper moments that we need in our lives to remove the rough edges. Paul is saying that we are to recognize these trying times and be grateful. God is working, and he's making this an opportunity to grow. Now, this may sound crazy, but the next time you are feeling impatient, think of this verse. Think of it. Instead of thinking about what's not happening that you want to happen, think of this verse. And say, oh, sandpaper moment. God wants to smooth off a rough edge here. You know what? I'm going to try to win this one. I'm going to try to win it. I'm going to try to do the right thing, let God work his way in me. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to simply say hello to the person in line behind me. Takeaway number 3. Remember this. Convenience never produces character. Convenience never produces character, guys. That means taking the easy way out is not sanding that railing, and that would never produce joy or freedom. So the next time you're standing in line at the new Starbucks and you're waiting for a simple cup of black coffee, simple cup of black coffee, while the people in front of you are ordering elaborate cups of liquid candy topped with foam, just smile and say, "Hi, how you doing? How about that Joaquin, huh? Pretty cool, right?" Be happily patient. For when you do, God has just sanded a bit of that roughness in you, and you are becoming more like Christ, closer to spiritual completion, and that peach pit inside you has sprouted, and it's starting to grow patience in you. Now, as I typed this final line that I just said to you, as I typed that line, it was 6:30 a.m. yesterday morning, Friday morning, and I was at the firehouse, and I was just being relieved from duty by Lieutenant Ferraro. I then got in my car, and I drove through Linden to get my much-anticipated and always there cup of 99-cent McDonald's coffee. I would then race home. There's only one person in front of me at McDonald's, so it's looking good. I never got that cup of coffee yesterday morning. Never got it. After 10 minutes of waiting for the car in front of me to get their food, I figured the best thing to do was just kind of pull around and head out. So I jumped on Route 1 and 9 and started north towards Newark. Now, I knew my last chance for coffee was the Burger King just before Newark Airport, because then I jump on 78. And when you hit 78, that is fast food no man's land. You're not getting nothing. You get on 78. So I pulled into Burger King. I made it. Ah, there's my exit up there. Pulled into Burger King. I ordered a cup of black coffee. I then spent the next 60 seconds trying to understand the incoherent questions that were being asked of me through the, there should be a clown there, but it was just a microphone. I have no idea what this girl was asking me, what I wanted or didn't want. I have no idea. So I simply, after 60 seconds, said, "No, thank you." I figured in my mind, whatever she was offering, whatever it is, beyond a simple cup of black coffee, I didn't want or need. So I went with the "no, thank you." I then pulled up, got my cup of coffee, drove on to Route 1, headed to the airport, tried my cup of black coffee to find out that it was light and sweet. Light and sweet. Just the way I don't want it. You got both wrong. And then I burst out laughing, because it had only been about 15 minutes before that I was typing the last line that I read to you before. I said, "Well, God is sanding Drew's handrail." I said, "Ah, so what?" So I drank the light and sweet coffee and made the best of it. You know what? Laughter has a way of bringing that freedom we're looking for. Sometimes you just gotta roll with it. I'm gonna ask the band worship leaders to come back and say, you know what? Let me tell you, laughing brings about more freedom to your hearts than being flabbergasted, won't it? You'll feel more freedom just laughing than being flabbergasted. You will feel better blowing it off than taking the frustration route and having impatient anger. So let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. We promised in the beginning we wanted to understand better, see how we can actually live the Christian life that he talks about in the Bible. And I think we have a little clearer handle on how we need to do it. So let's stand together and let's worship. And throughout this last time of speaking to God, let him show you, macro through mea, who is it that God might place in your life this week that you need to be patient with? Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you that you are showing us how it is that we can achieve life to the full. That as we surrender ourselves, as we surrender the what I want, when I want it lifestyle, that's continually fighting with the you want to lead lifestyle, the God lifestyle, I pray that you would help us to yield to you. Help us to embrace patience with others. Help us to remember where we came from. Bring to mind the people who were patient with us, who wanted to so desperately for us to find healing and function. Help us to remember that we are to show the same macro thermeia to them. And Lord, I do pray that when we are at restaurants and in lines and driving down the road and in our families and when things come our way that can try us, help us to remember that these are opportunities that you want to get that peach pit broken wide open, and you want to grow an incredible, incredible vine inside us of your Spirit, all the fruits. And I pray that as we focused on patience tonight, it would be something that changes us as we head into this week. Let us be different for having invested an hour here. We love you. We give you our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week, 7 o'clock.